most of the time projectors stop working when you actually need it. Okay. That was a beautiful singing this morning, and even after the refreshment, that was a wonderful collection of hymns, especially the last one, that one of my favorite, to be honest. Thousand and Thousand Thanksgivings. The thing is, from last couple of weeks, or from last 2 weeks, Mr. David Gray started one thing, which was testimony, right? He asked Mr. Richard to give the testimony in front of the sermon. So, and he asked me as well about that, and I was really glad to that he asked me about the testimony, but I said, sorry, because I'm going to do the sermon on that. But the main thing is, this idea of the testimony or this sermon, God gave it to me in the last year. We always go through these kind of booklets, right? Each month there's a new booklet, and we always see, okay, who is going to speak, who is the chairperson, who is going to do some duties and stuff. But there's something in the back as well. And last year, in the month of May, which is a Mother's Day month, right, there was a small little story in the back of this booklet. I was reading that, and I was really amazed by that story. And that story was just a small, that there were three friends, and one friend said, hey, I remember all the verses from NJV or KJV version of Bible. And another one said, yeah, that's wonderful, but I remember all the verses from NIV version of Bible. And I can, like, I can tell you every verses. I remember that from my mind. But the third one said something different. And that story, that one phrase touched my mind. And the third one said, I can tell you the version of Bible which my mother taught me. And that was the story, like small story. And then I started to realize, okay, what's the version of myself? How somebody wrote me down and how my Bible started. So that's how I came up with this testimony, that I need to tell my version of the Bible, how I got introduced to the Bible. It started with a small booklet. This sermon, it started with a small booklet, but my testimony also started with a book. It was this book, my book of Bible stories. I don't remember who gifted me that when I was in a fifth grade, but still that book was my favorite book. I used to sleep underneath my pillow. Like I always, every day I try to put it under my pillow and read the, this book. This book had really wonderful pictures of all the Bible stories from Abraham to the end of the world and how the heaven is going to be. And this book, because I was born in a Christian family. From 8 to 9 generations, my family was a Christian. They used to go to church. My father, my grandmother, and even great-great-grandfathers, everyone used to go to the church. But the thing is, this book introduced me to the Christ. I know, I was a Christian. I used to go to church every Sunday with my family. I used to do the prayers every day with my family during the prayer time. But the thing is, this book gave me something else. And there was one picture which touched me a lot. And that was this. We can't remember the face because on each book the face is different. That's Abraham looking at the stars. When God told him, I will increase your children like the stars in the sky and the grain of the sand. I was like, how wonderful that God is, who is saying to one person, Abraham, that I'm going to increase you like the stars. But the main question was, what the stars are? And why he's referring to the stars? And actually, that led me to my profession as well. But that led me to the Christianity as well. This picture, this one picture, that was in the book. And I started to look and started to study about the stars. Hey, okay, what the stars are. And then I found out, okay, those are huge the ball of gases, those are burning from million of years. Then I found out who created that. And there was one verse. Actually, there was a Bible study going on every Monday in my church. It was cottage meeting kind of thing. So in that meeting, one day they read a verse from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26. You can open your Bibles, or I'm going to read it for you as well. So that verse is, "Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. Who brings out their host by number, he calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing." God was talking about the stars. And I was like, oh, the stars are so big, but that's the God who made it. I was in grade 5th or 6th. Then I was so surprised by the fact the stars are so big, but there's one person who created that, and that is God. And, So, I started to wonder, okay, what God has done, how I can know who the God is. But the thing is, I was grade 5 or 6, so I didn't have that idea what actually God did to me, or what actually God did for us. So, the only option I had was look at the people who was around me, and try to find the answers. The first person... Because the thing is, when I was just a kid, my mother was working in a school. So that's why she left me with my grandmother for 3 years. And my grandmother, or my maternal grandmother, had one habit. And still she do it at the age of 70 or 80 something. She always wake up in the morning. And before doing anything, she just open the Bible, read it, and do the prayer. Why she is doing that every day? She is old. She can wake up late, and she can go to a washroom to fresh up, or she can drink a tea. But she's waking up every day in the morning early, and she's reading the Bible and she's doing the prayer. Why she is doing that? And I was like, okay, that's a good habit. I can adapt it. So I tried to read that one yellow book. My book of Bible stories in the morning. That was difficult. I was a kid, right? So usually my mom wake me up, and I was like, okay, I'm in a hurry to go to school. Now I have to do the brush. So that's why I used to skip that. But the thing is, I got that idea from my grandmother that there is something she's getting by reading the Bible in the morning and doing the prayer every day in the morning and every day in the night as well before going to sleep. So when I came back home, I started to understand what my mom do. And she's a completely different person. She's a really strong lady, to be honest, because she set up some really hard rules on us. So there was a rule in our house that you will not get a food if you don't go to church in the morning. So you have to go to the church to get a lunch on Sunday afternoon. That was the rule. It was even for my father. It was even for her. So we have to get up, go to the church, and then do the lunch. Not before the church. That was the rule. But the thing is, we thought, okay, that's really hard rule. What we are getting from that? She tried to set up a schedule so that we go to church every Sunday and not miss it. Because as a kid, what you actually want? You want to have a food as much as you can. And on Sunday morning, if you were hungry, no, you have to go to the church first. And then after coming back from church, she usually prepare really good food, snacks, samosas, pakoras, whatever. That was a prize we were getting after going to the church. And I was like, okay, that's a really good idea. And then I started to realize that she's working in a school. I was a kid, but she was working in a school from last 26 years so far. And I thought she's getting really good money, but that was not the truth. I found out that when she started at $10 per month. like equivalent to $10 per month in 1997 something. And even right now, she's getting $100 per month from that school. And that's a charitable school. The thing is, her, and I ask her about that, like what she is getting from doing that job. She's a principal. That's a charitable school, and there are about like 300 students reading in that school right now, and about 12 teachers. That's the only Christian school in our village. And that school only have one Christian teacher and one Christian student. But still, that school is called Christian school. Because the thing is, each morning in the morning prayer, people from all the religion came to the school, students from all the religion came to the school, and they do prayer in Bible, like prayers, sing the hymns, and do the prayers, the godly prayer, to be honest. And then I started, okay, she's doing that for someone. It's not for money, but she's doing. And for her, school or the house of the God always comes first. It doesn't matter. So there was a rule she set up at our house that if we are doing any mistake, because we both, three kids studied in that school, if we do any mistake in the school, we're going to get double punishment then as compared to the others. And why? Because she don't want to set up an idea in the mind of other kids' parents that we are getting any leniency because we are the kid of the principals. Right? So that's why she set up this. And I started to realize that she's doing everything because she's feeling that she's accountable to the God, not to anyone else. And that's why my grandmother was doing that prayer, because she was accountable to the God. And the next person that wrote me down, that was my father, earthly father. So, according to him, never do anything wrong with the God's house. That's his point. Never, ever do anything. And just because of this rule, some of my relatives from paternal side or my father's cousins and my father's uncles tried to kill him as well. They attacked him because the thing is, there are about like 40 families, and some of the families try to sell the land of the church so that they can get the money and do their own stuff. But my father is standing between selling that land, selling that whole church thing to a Hindu temple. And that's why they try to kill him. And also, he became the president of a local bank kind of thing. And people try to attacked him because he found out they were doing really wrong things in that bank. They were like doing the bribery, and there was a black money in the bank. So he tried to bring that up. So that's why he tried to kill him. But the thing is, he was doing everything, or he's still doing everything, because he's accountable to God. He don't want. It's not about all that building. It's not about all that land. But I realized that it's all about God. He is feeling that, okay, he's accountable because God gonna ask him, okay, what you did for me? Because God gonna ask him, okay, that was my people, how you lead him? And that's how I got to know, okay. And that's why when you go to the First Samuel, and there was David, Jonathan, and Shaul, that's a Hindi pronunciation of the king Saul. So Saul was trying to kill David, but there was Jonathan, the son of King Saul, who was trying to save him. He saved him a couple of times, about two or three times in the book of 1 Samuel. You can go into that book, most probably after chapter 9. So Saul tried to kill David, but Jonathan was helping me. But in reality, that was God who using Jonathan to save David. And I realized that, okay, that's the God who is using my father to do the things for those people. Or who was using my mom to do the things for that school. Because the thing is, before 12 years, there was a tradition of honor killing in my village. But now honor killing is, if you're, that's really, really easy, crime kind of thing. But if your kid or get in a relationship with any other without the permission of parents, parents killed their children. That was a tradition in my village 12 years ago. But now, that's changed. Now, kids from my school are going to army, going to air force, going to navy. Some of them are bankers, some of them are lawyer. Just because of that school, that whole village got changed. And God was using my mom to do that. That's how I see that God is using everything. So that's why, if we go into the book of Daniel, chapter 3, verse 28, it is written, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servant who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. He saved my father from those attacks. He saved my mother from those points. Because the thing is, those were my relatives who tried to kill my father. Those were the people of those that village. Those tried to put a blame on my mother as well. But the thing is, that was God who was using them. As it is written in the book of Daniel. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar realized, okay, how great our king is. Because he's the one who delivered us from every attack. And there was a really memorable moment which changed me. Because there was one day in the church when I read from the scripture for the very first time. And after going back home, my father was crying. And I was like, why are you crying? And he gave me about like 500 rupees just to read it, read the verses from the scripture for the very first time in church. And that 500 rupees was about like a week worth of wage. And he just gave me. And I was like, wow. Just to read the scripture, I got this much money. And that was enough for me. But the thing is, he was so happy that I'm trying to learn from the God's word. I'm trying to bend toward the God word. So that's how I got introduced to the Lord's word. Through my grandmother, through that yellow small book, through my father, through my mother. There were so many other people, those who taught me some of these things. But the thing is, the whole idea was who was behind them. Why they are doing those things. And that was the God who doing it. But the thing is, in ninth standard, so that was grade 5, 6, and 7 thing. But in the end of 8th grade, I was doing the prayer in the morning. I was doing reading through the Bible. I was doing everything. But that was just a schedule. I was not... I started to drift away. I started to... like bend in or try to blend into my classmates because I got an idea of the world. Okay, they are doing something amazing. They are happy. Why my parents, they are going through all the blames. They are going all through these miseries. But the worldly people are happy as well. Maybe I should learn something from them. Then I tried to blend in into my class. That was grade 9 when I drifted away from God. But pretty soon I realized that their happiness is not forever. They are just happy on their faces. But at their houses, they were miserable people. They were dying. They are in problems as well. my parents are in problem, but they, still they are happy at home. And they are just happy outside when they go back. Like other people are when they are just happy outside, but when they go back to home, they are just like in misery. They don't have any inner peace. They don't know what the life is. They don't even know who saved them. They have no idea how the creation is working. And that's when there was a Sunday school kind of thing in our church. I got introduced to one hymn. In Hindi, it is Tere Dil Pe Dwar Par Yeshu Khat Khat Aata, which means on the door of your heart, Jesus is knocking. And that's from the verse Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him. And he was with me. And I was like, those people don't have any happiness. My parents are suffering. But why God is knocking at my heart? Why he wants to come in? Because I was drifting away from him. I didn't follow any rules. I committed, because then I started to realize we all sin. And I was like, I'm a sinner, but why God is knocking at me? Who created those stars? Those were in the picture, this picture. Who created those star? He's knocking at my heart. Why? Why he wants to come in? That was the first question that came into my life. And even after doing everything, even after drifting everything, God was still faithful. He wants to come to me. And he said in John 3:16 that he gave his only begotten son because he loved me. Even after I'm a sinner, he still loves me. He still wants to eat with me. And I'm not even worthy to do that. Because if we go into the New Testament, we can see we killed him and he came to the world still to save us. But still he wants, and that was the question. That's why in the book of Isaiah, chapter 61 and verse 3, if you can go to that chapter, it is written, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. He is calling me. He is knocking at my door's heart because that's his plan. He is the pot maker. He made that plan from the beginning of the world, and now he wants to get glorified through me. He wants to use me. That's why he's knocking at me. Because the thing is, there was a story, there was a Bible study going on every Monday, as I already mentioned it, and we were going through the book of Acts, and we were going through the story of Paul, that he was the one who used to do harm on all the apostles and stuff. He used to rebel against them. He was going there to kill some of the believers or catch them and put them in a jail. But still, Lord saved him. Still, Lord came into his way and showed, why you are hurting me. And I said, how the Paul who was against him, how the Paul who was doing all these wrongs, how the Paul who was completely against Christ, but still Christ came into his way and asked him, why you are hurting me? And then Paul was one of the apostles. He delivers the gospel to most of the people. He delivers the gospel not even to the Judah or not even to the Israel, but to all the other religions as well. That was Paul. Okay, God can save him, and so that's why God can save me. So that's when June 15, 2014, I accepted Lord as my Savior. Just through that Lord can save Paul, he can save me as well. If Lord can love me, he can also save me. He can use me to deliver whatever he wants to do. He can use me to glorify his name. And that's why in June 15, I got saved. And that was in a summer, and we were doing the Bible study, and it was my uncle's house. there was an evangelist, Dave Kumar, who asked me, what's going into your mind? What do you think about Christ? And that whole verse, that whole story of Paul was going into my mind. Why God saved him? Because he was still hurting him. And he used him fantabulously. Paul, you can go to the Paul. He wrote a couple of letters. He wrote to the assemblies. He established assemblies. A lot of believers came into the faith because of Paul. And how greatly Lord used Paul. And that was the point when that changed my mind. How can a Jesus, how can the creator of those stars, how can the creator of this whole world can love me even though we killed his only begotten son? We were not worthy. And that's when I became the real Christian. Not from my birth, but by my choice. So that's why after 2 years, in July 30th, 2016, I took the baptism according to the word in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That was in Mahalpur Assembly, which was about 10 kilometers from my mother assembly. And that's a Brethren Believer Assembly in Mahalpur, and I took baptism in that. So that completely changed my mind. Lord was my Savior. He saved me from my sin. He saved me from the death, and he was my Savior from that day. And those lessons which I learned from my grandmother, those lessons which I learned from my mother, my dad, and all the other person from my assembly and other believer, that was still with me. That's how I was started to go into, and that's how the Lord wrote this book, or the book which I'm in front of you. So that's why after getting a baptism, I started my university. I got into my university and took the bachelor's in bachelor's. But the thing is, God was with me and he was looking at me. Because there's a verse in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. It is written, I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. Because I got saved, but I was not doing much for the God. I was doing those things, reading the Bible in the morning, doing the prayers, going to the church every day, and Jesus is my Savior. I knew that. I changed my life. But the thing is, still, there was one verse which hit me really hard, and that was Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, and it says, I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. And I was like, I know Jesus is my Savior, but I'm not doing anything for him. That's why I'm lukewarm, and he's about to spit me out because I'm not doing anything for him. And I was so amazed that I got saved, but I haven't told anyone that I got saved. Just my assembly know that, okay, I got saved. So, just because of those verses, those chapter 3, book of Revelation, verse 15 and 16, that God is about to spit me out because I'm lukewarm, push me to think about what I can do for him. I got saved. I'm living according to his rules. I'm living according to his words. But the thing is, I'm not doing anything for him. He did everything for me. I realize that. But I'm still not doing anything for me. And right then, the COVID hit. And COVID came. I got infected. My mom got infected with that. And I was on bed for maybe 2 or 3 weeks. I was isolated in different room. My mother was isolated in different room. That was a hard time. But still, there was one verse that came to me during that time. It was Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24, which is, it is written in that book is, nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. And that's when I realized, okay, even if I'm doing the routine, that's also a blessing. I can eat, I can sleep, I can read through the Bible. That's also a blessing, even during the COVID, because I was not able to go outside. I was not able to talk to anyone because each person was afraid to meet anyone during that time. That was a tough time. You all guys see that in the year of 2020, right? That was March when the COVID hit. So then I realized, okay, if I'm not able to go outside, if I'm not able to talk to anyone, still I'm doing the routine. That's also good from my God, but still I have to do something for him. Because he was my savior, but after this verse, I realized he is my companion and friend. He can be my companion and friend as well. I can tell him anyway. It's not like he's the creator of the world and we don't have any relation with him. He's just sitting above and we are just living on the earth and we're going to see him at the end of the earth or end of the days. But then I realized, okay, he's not just apart from us. He is within us. We are the temple. And even with simple routine, even with simple life, he is using us. And then all of a sudden, everything shut down. And everything was drifting apart. My mom was sick. I was sick. My dad was helping us out. And then he got sick as well. The things were falling apart. Everything in my house. My sister was here. The eldest sister was in a different town. She was not able to come to our town to help us because of the lockdown. Nobody was allowed to go out. The things were getting really tough. But still, there was one verse. The 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. We went through that verse a lot of time. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And then I realized, okay, there's a peace. There's still something God is doing through me. And that's when I got the direction to come to Canada because nothing was going on there. And all of a sudden, my brother-in-law said, hey, if nothing is going on, all the jobs are shut down, all the companies are not hiring anyone, why don't you try come to Canada? And I was like, okay, I can give it a shot. Let's try to go to Canada. But there was one prayer I did before making that decision. I was like, God, just use me wherever you want to go. Wherever I'm going, just use me in your ways. Because I know even during the daily routine, as we went through a couple of verses from Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24. That was a hard word. In Hindi, we call it Sabhopadeshak. That book is completely different. So those verses taught me, okay, even daily, during the daily routine, God was choosing me. So if I'm going to take this big step or if he's leading me to Canada, then let God be my driver. Let God decide all my ways. Let God made all my decision for me. And even during the flight before I landed on Pearson, I just made one prayer. Hey, God, I'm in a new land. Just use me wherever you want to use me. And God really listened to that prayer. The first thing he gave me was this church. He put me here. He introduces me to all these people. I still remember the first day when Dale gave me a ride back home. I came over here, and when I entered, Mr. Les was here. He asked me, hey, how are you doing? What's your name? I'm going to announce it over here. So that was the first day God gave me the blessing of this church. And that's really changed my mind. And it was like, okay, there's a family, and God put me into that. He's going to use me for sure. And all the things started. I didn't have that job. I started to work in Tim Hortons in the beginning. So I didn't have any job in the beginning. I asked him, hey, God, you gave me the family. I know you're going to use me. But to use me, I need to pay my bills as well. There's a college going on. I have to save for my second year. I have to pay my fees. So just lead me wherever you want to lead me. And in the same week, I got a call from Tim Hortons. Hey, there's an interview over here. Would you like to come and do the interview? I got the job. And that was the second blessing after coming to Canada God gave me. So he saved me. He was my savior. But before coming to Canada, he became my friend. I used to talk to him, hey, God, not just the prayer, not just about asking. It's like, I'm going to do this. Is it right or wrong? Because then he became the actual maker of my life. He led me wherever he wanted to. So after Tim Hortons, I was working there for 7 months about. And then one day after a job finished, I was just going back home walking from my Tim Hortons job. And I asked him, hey, God, is this the place where you want me to put for my, like, for a longer period? And I don't know wherever you want to, but I know that you're going to move me to something else. You're going to use me better than this, Tim Horton, because I was not learning anything. And in the same week of that prayer, I got a message on LinkedIn from one anonymous guy, and he asked me, hey, would you like to work for me as an engineer? And I was like, maybe it's a spam. So I didn't reply to that person. But after a month, I was talking to one of my professor, and he told me that, no, he's a legit person. You can talk to him. And I sent him my resume. I did the interview and got hired. And later, I realized that the person who messaged me was the owner of the company where I'm working right now. That's how God gave me this job. Like, I was sure, I was faithful that God is going to use me wherever he wants to use me. And now, he just gave me this job. And I was so happy. I told my parents, and again, my father cried out of happiness. But the thing is, that was just earthly things. But God blessed me with something else as well. And that was the day, the first day when Mr. Les asked me, hey, would you like to do a sermon over here? And that's when I realized God is really using me. That God is really giving me a chance to use me. That's, and I told my father, because my father was asking every time I called him, hey, have you got a chance to do a sermon in the church? Because I used to do back in my home. And he asked me every time, hey, would you got a chance? And I was like, no, not yet, not yet, not yet. It's going to happen. But the thing is, it's totally up to Lord. And that day, Mr. Les asked me, hey, would you like to do a sermon this day? And I was like, I told my father, and he cried again out of happiness. And I was like, and that's when one verse came into my mind. That was the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord your God in your midst. The mighty one will save you. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. He was using me. And even with that happiness, that just one chance to do the sermon, he was rejoicing with me. Because that, what I asked him, hey, Lord, use me wherever you want to use me. And after that, the blessing grows on. Another thing Mr. Les asked me was about Sunday school. And I told my father, and he was so happy. Again, he cried. And I told him. So that's how God started to use me. I made one prayer before coming to Canada, and all of a sudden, Lord changed my life. He became my friend. He became my companion. He became my savior. He became everything for me. And from the very first day, he started to guide me into his ways. And after Sunday school, I'm here right now in front of you. That's how God is using me so far. So that's the story that God is writing on these pages or this book, because some of the chapter were written from my mother, some of the chapter were written from my father, some of the chapter were written from my grandmother, or some from my mother's assembly, some from this assembly. But the thing is, Moses wrote about 5 books in the Bible, but still, we always glorify the name of the Lord, because he was the one who was using Moses to write those books. And he was the one who was using all the believers, those who were around me, to write me down. And that's how I became Christian. Not just by birth, but my choice. And that's why, in the end, I just want to go through a couple of verses. And that's the heaven which is coming up. That was the last page of that yellow book, which showed God promised a paradise. A lion can be with the lamb, and people can all live together in love. That was the last page of that yellow book, which started my story. So this is my version of the Bible, and it was written by believers. And that's why in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 17, it is written, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him, because everything is for Jesus." Everything is for Jesus. It's not, because the thing is, if we go into the book of John, when Lazarus was over sick and he was about to die, then Jesus told, "This sickness or this illness is not for the death. This illness is to glorify the name of the Lord. He used me just to glorify his name, and I'm blessed that he's still using all of us to glorify his name." That's why in the book of 1 John chapter 1 verse 3, it is written that which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ, because we have to tell everyone what we have experienced. That's the testimony is. Because Lord saved me, it's not about all about living in Lord. It's about telling all the people that he saved me. He is the creator of that world. He is the creator of those stars, those who lead us to this life. And he made everything from nothing. And still, he loved us. He loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. So we have to tell everyone, as the John is telling, that we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. In the book of 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. And the last is, last not the least, Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 17. "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." Because he's the Lord. As it is written in the book of Job, chapter 1, that he giveth, he taketh, blessed is the name of the Lord. He gave everything. He saved me. And that's why I'm doing this testimony. Because I want to tell you how happy I am that he saved me. How happy I am that somebody gifted me that yellow book. How happy I am that there was a story of Paul in that book as well. And the last is 1 Peter 3:15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." Don't be afraid to tell anyone that how you got saved. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for using us to glorify your name. I thank you for bringing us all together over here to sing the hymns, to go through the words, so that we can realize how great you are, how glorified is your name, how blessed we are that you are our Father. You saved us from our sins. We were going into the death, but you saved us because you pulled us with your right hand, and now we are hoping to get into the heaven. The last days which are going to come, that wonderful throne on which the Jesus Christ is going to sit, that judgment which is going to come, we are hoping that to come as soon as possible. But before that, just use us and show us the way where we have to go. Show us the way which we have to take, so that we can tell everyone how great you are, how wonderfully you saved us, how wonderfully you created us, and you made this plan before the beginning of this world. So I hand you over every soul which are present over here. I hand you over myself as well, just to use us as a testimony, as a books which people can read, as a believers which people can use as an example, and we can show what love Jesus showed to the world. What Jesus did for us and for the love he did with us, that agape love. He asks nothing in the favor, but he giveth and giveth again. That's why he sang thousand and thousand of thanksgiving. And at the end, he sang, yet not I, but through Christ in me. I ask everything in the name of Jesus. Amen.